Father God, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father, so much for this evening. Lord, we say thank you, Father God, for the breath of life. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that at this time, Father God, in this season, Lord, that you are with your people, Father, and you know us and we know you, Lord God, and we walk with you this day. And Father, right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just commit this point of time, Lord God, and everything that transpires here into your hands. Father, we pray that every word that comes forward would bless and glorify your name. Father, we bind every demonic influence. We bind every force of the devil. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we do cast it out. Father, we call it null and void. And Father, we proclaim in this place the free flow of your Holy Spirit. Father, we proclaim in this place, Lord God, the truth, Father, the truth of your word, Lord, to come forward. And so, Lord, to that end, Father, I yield myself, Father. I acknowledge that there's nothing good in me except your Holy Spirit. And to your Spirit, I do yield, Father. And as we just go forward, Lord, we go forward in the power of your word and the power of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, little brother Luke. Luke chapter 16. Okay. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Okay. Now these are the words of Jesus. And I would argue with you, I don't want to argue with you, I would assert to you this evening that Jesus is telling a real reality. This is not a story as such. It's not a parable as such. This is Jesus giving an accurate account of something that is actually existing to this very day. I'll let that sink in a little bit. See, Jesus' life in this world is a transition point into eternity. We know that not a soul is coming to this world that stays in this world. So life in this world is a period of time which transitions then into eternity, transitions into what reality truly is. So Jesus, speaking in this section of Scripture in Luke, is speaking of something that has happened after life in this world. Something that has happened after a select group of people spent some time in this world and then transitioned from this life into the next, the real life, the life after this world. Now, let me go back to something that we've talked about before. Here, let me pull this over here. And we talked before about the two kingdoms. We talked about the kingdom of God, big G, and the kingdom of this world. Okay. So you have the kingdom, and you have the kingdom. Two kingdoms. Two kingdoms, two systems, two things in operation in the world. Now, so many times when I read scripture, I just see this reality being brought forward again and again and again. Okay, a few reasons why I say that this is not a parable, but this is an actual reality, is because Jesus in this story, when he's telling it, he does a few things here that he doesn't usually do with parables. One, he gives a name. He gives a specific name of a person. Okay, question for you. Why did Jesus give the name of Lazarus, but does not give the name of the rich man? He didn't want to highlight the person. Yes, there's actually scriptural. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 7, let me flip back there really quick. It says that there's a reason that he didn't give his name. It says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." See, Jesus, when Jesus, everything that Jesus did while he was in this world was consistent with throughout Scripture. Christ was the fulfillment of the law. Christ was the fulfillment of the Scripture. He was the Word in flesh. So if Jesus was to have given the name of the rich man who was in hell, that name would continue to live on this day, even in this story. But because Jesus is consistent with Scripture and consistent with His own Word, the name of that rich man is not known, nor will it be known, because that name has rotted. But God uses that rich man still as an object lesson for those that would come after. Now, the name of Lazarus is mentioned, and it's in the Word, and throughout eternity, throughout time, you will get to meet Lazarus at some point, if you're walking with the Lord. If you are part of the kingdom of God, you'll get a chance to meet that brother. Praise God. But the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are in operation differently. Now, with the rich man and with Lazarus, life in this world was one thing for them, but then they transitioned on into eternity. Now, my question, another question I'll ask, what was the sin of the rich man that resulted in him finding himself waking up in hell? It's probably a good question to answer. But yeah, it's in the story. I'll give you a hint. It's inside this story right here in Luke chapter 16. It gives it away. It lets you know. Okay, let me ask a quick question. Did the rich man go to hell because he was rich, and did the poor man go to heaven because, or to the Abraham's bosom because he was poor? Okay, no. So no. So the rich man didn't go there because he was rich, and the poor man did not go to heaven because he was poor. There'll be a lot of poor people in hell as well, and there'll be rich people that go to heaven. Scrooge. Okay. So the rich man, what was that thing that he did that resulted in an eternal reality that was so terrible that he was petitioning to somehow get a message to the others that were in his family, because he knew for himself that those brothers that he had, again, another fact that shows that this is a real story. He mentions five brothers. He doesn't want them to commit. He doesn't want them to continue on the path that they're on, because that path that they're on and that same sin will result in them being right next door to him. What is it that they did? Okay. I'll go into this because... Okay. Verse 27 says, "Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses, and they have and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham." No, Father Abraham. No, Father Abraham. The same thing. Now, Abraham is called the father of our faith. Abraham is called, he's called that starting point of, by faith, Abraham did all of these things. And Abraham being also a representative for what God was doing in the world and in the earth at that time. When this man transitioned into death, he was still continuing on with a choice and a decision that he had made during his life, which was no to God, no to Father, no. Where he was in his life, in the eternal reality, what had happened was this man had said yes to the kingdom of the world, and he had said no here. Now, you remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in Luke chapter 4? When the devil decides to shoot the best shot that he's got as far as temptation goes, he brings up the best that he's got. What is it that he says? I'll give you the whole world. I'll give you everything. All the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. If you will do one thing. If you will bow down and worship me. If you will give your spiritual allegiance, if you will give your heart, your soul, over to this kingdom of which he is the prince of the power of the air. He is the one that's ruling over that kingdom that's in existence. He says, if you bow down and give your spiritual allegiance here, I'll give you all the trimmings. But this is the one thing that's required. The one thing that's required in the kingdom of the world, and the thing that's, it's the same thing that's required in the kingdom of God. A free will decision to serve that sovereign that's there. Now, we've talked before about the kingdom of God being king dominion. There's the dominion of a king in the kingdom of God. Likewise, in the kingdom of the world, there's a way that that one is being run and ruled. Now, the difference is in the world, you have many varieties. It manifests in all kinds of different things. So you have, and the world in itself as a system manifests a lot of different ways. So you have different forms of government, and you have different forms of religion, and you have different forms of social organizations that exist. But all of those, again, fall under the jurisdiction of the world and the world system in its many different forms. But the kingdom of God is a separate form of spiritual government in which you have one sovereign. You have one king. You're under the dominion of the king, and to him you bow your knee. To him you follow the rule that he shows, and you walk that life out. Now, in the passage, in verse 26, Abraham, or actually verse 25 here. Verse 25. He says, there's a great gulf fixed. Verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence unto you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's a gulf between, there's an irreparable division for the eternal reality between the two kingdoms. Which means that when this life is over, when people go on from this life into the next, there's a transition point from which at this world, this is the time that people make their decision. This is the time that people make their choice. So, now when Jesus talked about in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, what you have in the spiritual world is you have in Christ, you have the bridge that takes you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. You remember in Acts 26, where Paul speaking about his own experience. Here, let's go there real quick. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, and it says, verse 15. And actually, let's go back to verse 14. And when we heard all, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. For rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay, so back to again the kingdoms. Darkness to light, the power of Satan unto God. So, everybody who's within the kingdom of the world, everyone who is within that system of the world, is under the power of Satan and living in darkness. Again, when Jesus talked about how he came that they might have that those, he came to give recovery of sight to the blind. He's here. People that are living in darkness that need to transition from darkness to light, it's a spiritual work that needs to take place by the Spirit of God. So Christ Jesus must draw. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. See, that's why too, for me, when I start to see all these massive programs to try to get numbers and everything like that, I'm not sure about all that, because in the end, it's the Spirit of God that draws and brings someone unto himself. That's a work of the Spirit of God. Now, in prayer, you can pray for someone and you can petition the Lord for someone and God can move on the heart of that person. But usually He'll stir you to begin to pray for somebody. But on a spiritual level, somebody coming up to an altar, raising their hand, saying some words and going back, if the heart and in the spirit nothing has changed, on the reality, on the true reality, on the eternal reality, that person's still within the kingdom of the world. So, you have a hodgepodge in so many religious organizations because they've got some people in there that are children of light, they've got some people in there that are kingdom of the world, and they're all mixed together and they're all trying to go somewhere and they're all confused. What God does is on an individual level. And the kingdom of God is made up of individuals that have been set free by the power of God. And as an individual, you make up a piece and part of the body of Christ. But we're not saved in groups. When life is over, when life is done in this world, you then go on from this world in transition into an eternal reality that you have been part of choosing for yourself. See, that's why too, when sometimes people are they say, well, how can God send someone to hell? How can God send this rich man to hell? People choose. They choose their eternity. They make a choice while they're in this life to choose the dominion of the King or to choose an eternal reality that's separate from the Father. They decide. So God, what He does is He respects our free will. Because you are created in the image and the likeness of God. You're created in the image of God. You have the ability to choose. You have the ability to create. So likewise, we make decisions, we make choices, but then also we live with the consequence of our choice. That's why when Joshua in Joshua 24 said, choose this day whom you will serve. The admonition being, make a good choice for yourself. Make a good choice for the life that you live while you're in the world. Okay. So, what is eternity? Well, eternity, you have a revelation of those who are truly alive and those who are dead. See, the world that we live in right now can be a bit confusing sometimes because of the fact that who people are within and who people are without can be different. See, in eternity, when we transition from this life into the next, the true person who you are within is who you will be through all eternity. But right now, you have people that inside they're one thing, and then outside they try to portray themselves as something different. Jesus talked about those as wolves in sheep's clothing. There's other ways that we refer to them as well, but they exist, they're here. A number of religious leaders that exist in the world this day fall within that category because they use the scriptures, they use the word as a means to justify again a carnal end. Okay. Everyone is born within the kingdom of the world. We're all born on that side. Because, now Chandala has gone into this before, but because of Adam, because of the system that God allowed to be put in place. See, understand that God allowed for this world to be what it is, for a reason. There's a reason that God has allowed for this world to be what it is this day. Part of that is the mystery of God being unfolded. Part of it is what we're living in right now. God has allowed for all of us to be part of this and here at this time. But the reality that you and I experience on a day-to-day basis, even in this country, is something that God has allowed to exist because of a purpose that He has. But we're all born, when we're born into this life, we're born into the world, and we're born in the same place that Paul had to be delivered from as well, from the power of Satan unto God, from darkness unto light. And God, what He did with Christ Jesus, is He took all the complexity out of it. Jesus, very, very simply, very, very plainly, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. So that is the transition point from darkness to light. But there's a free will decision that has to be made. The disciples' prayer, what Jesus taught the disciples to pray in Matthew 6. Our Father who art in heaven, right? Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We were taught by Jesus to pray and to out of our free will to ask for the lordship and the ruling of the king and the king dominion in our lives and in the reality of the world that we live in around us. We were taught to pray to ask and to request that dominion, that rulership of the king in and around us, and that was our choice, our free will choice. We were taught to pray that. So likewise, he taught his disciples, asked, how do we pray? Teach us to pray. So he said, all right, you want to know how to pray? Don't pray for a big house. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for something that has eternal value. Pray for something that is going to last, is going to matter when this life is over. He said the needs, on the needs, he went on to talk about that in the later part of Matthew 6. He said, seek first what? The kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and the needs that you have will be taken care of. But put the first things first. See, right now what you see happening in the world around us, right now what you see happening globally, is, I mean, Jesus promised, I'll shake everything that can be shaken. What you see happening right now and taking place is the kingdom of the world, the kingdom that's under the power of Satan, the darkness, is being shook. And so their systems are collapsing. You haven't seen, this is not yet really the judgments of God. Those come later. Right now is just stage one of just the kingdom of the world being just jostled a little bit. Yeah, tremor. Tremor within the kingdom of the world. And so many people already right now, their hearts are failing. Already right now, there's billionaires blowing their brains out because they can't handle the very possibility that their system has failed. That everything that they invested their lives in this world hasn't worked. Now, to get to leave this world without being in connection with the source of life is a very dangerous thing. Now is a time where there is an opportunity for people to wake up. Now is a wonderful opportunity for that. Because when you realize that the world system is a deck of cards, it's a house of cards, and the table gets bumped a little bit and the whole thing starts falling apart, you realize that's not a very good place to live. See, now is a time where the people of God move forward with the work of the Spirit, which what God is doing. And with right now, with what's taking place around the world, is you see the miracles, like, for example, Brother Sharon was talking about. You see more and more and more of these taking place these days. Why? Because God is working with and through His people. And as the prayer is being answered, when we pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, as that prayer is being answered, as the kingdom of God is coming to bear, as light is coming to bear on darkness, the darkness is starting to crack up. Now, as far as the rich man and Lazarus went, the life that was lived in this world, it can be all kinds of different things. When you look at the scriptures, the people that God used to write the scriptures, it went from slaves to kings. It went from people that were warriors and scholars and just the whole gambit. 1500 year period of time, 40 authors, 66 different books, all of them different lives in this world, but people that were part of the kingdom of God. The main aspect with all of them was that they themselves were under the dominion of the king, and they chose to live the life that they lived in this world under the direction and the lordship of the Spirit of God. So when they transitioned on from this life into the next, they went on into an eternal reality with Him. Contrast that to the people in the world that choose the world system, the provision of the world, and that which is at enmity with God, and they give themselves over to that, separate themselves from life and from light, for some quick benefit on that side, and then look at the reality that they get. Even now, if you look back, even in history, even modern history, so many of the world's great men 200 years ago, are their names even remembered today? 200 years ago? 500 years? Yeah, no. You can barely go back. 100 years, most of these people have been forgotten. So life here is transitory. Life here goes quickly. So, because life is quick, how now do we live here? And why are we still here? You know, sometimes I've wondered, okay, you know the Lord, you're in connection with Him. Why do we still exist in this life and in this reality? There's a purpose that you and I are still here. So instead of getting too occupied with a lot of other things around us, because again, the system of the world, when you're going to the side of light and you're on the side of truth, what will the world do? The world wants to keep you from coming into that spiritual reality that God intended for you to be. So you will have attacks. You will have battles. It talks about a spiritual war in Ephesians 6. We are supposed to prepare ourselves for that. But as you're transitioning from darkness into light, because of all those attacks around us, you have to also remember there's a reason that you're still here. So what's the reasons? Well, there's a few that I've thought of. One is, you're in a testing, refining, purifying process. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse... Let's go to verse 14 talks a little bit about the other system as well. But their minds were blinded, for the day remaineth the same veil untaken away, the reading of the Old Testament, which the veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we, when we come into Christ Jesus, we at that moment are set free. Satan and this world system, no longer in the world of spirit, in the realm of spirit, has a legal hold on your life. See, before that, the world system legally owned you. And when Christ Jesus became the propitiation for our sins, when Christ Jesus became the substitution for us on the cross, now, the payment is made in full, so you and I are no longer bound to the system of the world. We no longer own a debt to the world. So now you and I are set free. So now, that's the initial point, the entry point, and now you're like a loose cannon to this world system, on the deck of the world system. You now are moving where the Spirit of God would have you to be, and as you roll around on this deck, you're damaging and breaking all of the things that the world is trying to keep together. So, but now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So that's the initial point of freedom. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord, as you begin the journey that God has put you on, so Christ Jesus is a way, the way, the truth, and the life. As you begin that journey with the Spirit of God, what that does is now that journey, He takes you through a process. When you go on a journey with somebody, my dad and I recently went on a trip, so many things change around you except your company. The company is what stays consistent with you when you go somewhere. But everything around you is changing. So the environment's changing, the places are changing, the people are changing, but the person that you're traveling with, that remains consistent and remains the same. So likewise, when Jesus says, come and follow me, he's taking people through an experience in life that will grow them into and refine them into, as the scripture says, are changed into the image, the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord leading and guiding you into all truth. The Spirit of the Lord, who like the wind in John chapter 3, is moving you to and fro as He wills, and you're following His leading. That Spirit is refining you, is purifying you, is taking you through a process. And that's why it's so important for someone who wants to walk with the Father to follow the leading of the Spirit of God and not the control of man. See, the system of the world is again a system of control. Social control for profit, control for the purpose of keeping the system together. But if you get free in Christ Jesus, what does that mean to the world? Well, it means that one thing, you can't be controlled. Today you might be here, tomorrow God might say, like He did with the early church, hey, set aside Paul and Barnabas, send them off. I've got a job for them. You might not see you for 2 years. Well, you see you, but other people won't see you for 2 years. God will send you out. God will do something with you. You may switch jobs, you may switch careers. The CEO may become a pilot, the pilot may become a CEO. God can switch everything, turn everything around. You don't know. You live a life of an adventure. Again, Jesus talked in John 10 of came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that abundant life would happen by following the leading of the Spirit. That abundant life would happen by someone choosing to follow what God is doing, choosing to trust God. For example, when God miraculously provides for His people, your life is exciting. Your life, there's an excitement, an anticipation, an appreciation that comes from a living, real relationship with God when you see God doing these things in front of you and with you, using you as the avenue sometimes, because He gives you something and He tells you, hey, if you got two coats, give one to your brother. In that process, life becomes real, it becomes exciting, whereas the world has to prepackage everything for you. So God is doing a purifying process in you. He is preparing you for your birth into an eternal reality, based on the choice that you make to go with God while you're here. Okay, another reason that you're still here after you met Jesus. You're here as an ambassador. Okay, we're all part of the kingdom of God, the dominion of the king. But as subjects under the monarchy, which is Christ Jesus, under the monarchy of the Father, as subjects under His rule, because God is one, we now are representatives here in this world. Because God is Spirit, and those that worship the Lord worship Him in spirit and in truth. But we, being a combination between soul, spirit, and flesh in this dimension, in this paradigm, we become the representatives for the spiritual reality in the kingdom of God. So God has you and I here as ambassadors, as representatives for His kingdom. So we are here as beings, as vessels that God then uses to do the will of the king in this dimension. Because see, again, though the world exists and the system of the world exists here, the kingdom of God trumps the world. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, therefore go. So when Jesus said, look, all of it's mine, so we as subjects and ambassadors within the kingdom of God, we go into the kingdom of this world as representatives with the authority of God in those situations. So when God says anything And we do that as the Spirit of God leads us, it shall be done. So you become incredibly powerful. And this is also why the world works so hard to get control of your mind, because the world does not want you to realize the power that God has already put in you. If you don't think that your prayers will make the difference and you don't pray, then you're not working with the Spirit of God with what He would do with you. But if you begin to understand, wait, the power that's been put in you, the power that's been put in a child. Sriyan, you're talking about your daughter, how she prayed for something specific, and then God, an amazing miracle there. How old is your daughter now? How old? 6.5. So 6.5. So the power of God inside a 6.5-year-old girl, it's there. It's real. So now that 6.5-year-old girl has more power inside of her because the Spirit of God living in her, because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Christ Jesus. Spirit of God lives in her. That 6.5-year-old girl can bind 20 kings of 20 nations and all of their subjects and anything that's part of the world system, and has power over that, if the Spirit of God chooses to do that. So can you understand why the world is petrified of a 6.5-year-old girl? And why the world will work to break down, to destroy, to do anything it can against the children of God. This is also why God protects those that are His. This is why also you and I have angels assigned to us that watch over and keep us, because the world, if they weren't there, would seek to destroy into God's people, because that light is dangerous to the system that's there. But God has us here as ambassadors, as representatives of the kingdom. So we are representatives of the dominion of the King amidst a world system that's at enmity with Him. So when you read through scriptures, Daniel, Joseph, all these guys, everyone, these were representatives of the King and the dominion of the King amidst a world system that was at enmity with God. And whenever the point needed to be made, God would make the point using the lives of those that were submitted to Him to make the eternal reality point that He was God, He was in control, and there was no one else above Him. So when Nebuchadnezzar thought he was something great, God humbled him. When Pharaoh thought he was something great, God dealt with him. Right now in the world, in the world system that we live in right now, there's a number of men that think that they're something, and they will all be humbled. All of them will learn in due time, in very short time, that there is only one King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you be destroyed in His wrath. Psalms 2, Psalm 149. God warns them. It's to their own benefit that they listen. So God gives time. This life in this world, you have time. You have time to make these choices. But then you live with the reality of the choices that you make. Okay. So you're still here because you're in a testing and refining, purifying process. You're still here because you are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You're also still here because you are part of the mystery of God. Revelations chapter 10 and verse 5. Well, let's go to verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein, that they should be time no longer. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And he had declared to, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. So there is a mystery that we're living in even right now. There's a mystery that's going on that actually all of creation, all of the universe is watching this thing unfold. The scriptures talk about if the people would have been quiet when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, the rocks themselves would cry out. So all creation is watching this thing. Everything that's here and all around, this entire universe is watching the unfolding of the mystery of God. Something else that they're watching is also the revelation of the true sons of God. Because the wheat and the tares grow together. So when the sons of God are revealed, when the daughters of God are revealed, they'll be revealed throughout. So though the world and the world system exists, God will have put His people all over the place. And as they're revealed, and they shine forward and they shine bright in this time, it'll be mind-boggling where God has His people. And this is why, too, you have to give space, because the people that are your brothers and your sisters that come forward in the days ahead, when God liberates them and brings them out and opens their eyes, you have to be willing to see in the eyes of the Spirit the true nature of those people, because they will come from all different corners and all different vantage points, and they will be brothers and sisters in Christ. You will have that same spirit, that same kindred spirit with them that you do with the Father. You'll just know for yourself, this is a brother, this is a sister. So, we are part of the mystery of God being revealed. Part of that mystery is that in death there is life, and through struggle there is growth. And the depths of God's love for the people of this world. Those are all things that are part of the mystery of God that's being revealed even now. Isn't it a mystery that in the cross, that in the death of our Savior, we all obtained life? And death couldn't hold Him, and He then went on to life eternal, being the firstborn from the dead. In struggle, that there's growth. You know that whole thing about the butterfly? You know, I really appreciated that one, because when you see all of the struggle and the toil and the effort that and the pain that the butterfly goes through, but the end of it is the transition point into something beautiful. And there's something beautiful. And you know, when God created nature, this is something that I've thought about. When God created nature, He created natural examples to exemplify spiritual realities so that we could understand. Even this is why, too, that the Bible doesn't spend very much time dealing with atheists. There's only a couple verses in the whole Bible. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. I mean, that's about all you really need to say. Because even it says that in creation you can see God's handiwork. In creation you can see the lessons that God has put out there. So for example, when God wanted to make it known to us, those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. God created an eagle. So He wanted to show before we came along and we're trying to understand some things. God created a bird that when the storm would come, would know to spread His wings and catch the wind of the storm and soar above it. And soar above the clouds and not like the buzzards and the crows go down and try to find some hiding place. He created a bird that would catch the wind and rise above. So when He made the bird, He said, I'm going to create a bird that exemplifies this spiritual reality, so later on, if somebody has eyes to see, even in the natural, they can understand that those that wait upon Me will be like this bird. They will soar above whatever it is that's coming their way. So God created natural examples for us. So we, in this world, there is a struggle that we're in right now. But there's a way of peace. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God offers that. Jesus offers that. You know, there's a lot of people right now in the world system that are very, very tired. They're exhausted because the world, when somebody's in the world system will treat you like a battery. And it uses those that are part of it to continue to build and refine a system for harvesting souls. And when it's done with the people, it discards them and throws them away. And it's done this for generations and generations. Now, when somebody's in that track, now it'll present something different. The world will have its heroes of their system that seem like people that are carefree and have the world by the tail and all of this. No, it's never the reality. The world, if somebody is a slave in the world system, the world will use them up at a rate. So when someone comes to Christ, Jesus had to say, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," because they're tired. They're very, very, very tired and exhausted because the world has drained life out of them. So Jesus gives rest. Jesus gives peace. See, when you and I labor in the life that we're here in this world, when we do something in connection with the Spirit of God, though we work, and we work very hard, but when you do something because the Spirit of God is leading you, is guiding you, you're in connection with the flow of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God flows through you, and that life is flowing through you, through the situation. The people of God don't get exhausted like that. They don't get used up. They go from glory to glory. They go from strength to strength. When you see people that are walking with the Spirit of God, so often when you look at them, they're charged. The battery's not been depleted. They're in connection with the source of life. They're plugged into the source of life. Whereas the people in the world, they're broken off. They're branches that have been broken off that are withering up and drying away and drying up. So typically the way the world has worked is if it's drying up and broken off, the only place it can get life is if it tries to get it off of you. So many of the games that have taken place and all those kind of things, those are just the world trying to get some life off of you because it refuses to go to the Father. But God shields and protects His people, and we're transitioning now into a time around the world where God has put a very, very strong hedge around His own people. And so the world without life is falling apart. So God has you and I here for a reason. God has you and I here for a purpose. Two kingdoms, two systems exist on the planet. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. The middle verse in the Bible. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." That is the difference between the world system and the Father. The world system puts its confidence in man, and the world system puts its confidence in its rulers and its people. The world and the world system strives to save itself, but those that put their trust in the Lord shall never be put to shame. So, for us, as children of God, as children of light, as children of truth, we have put our life, our hope, our stock, our investment, everything that we are into the kingdom of God. We have put everything that we are into the King of Kings. And based on that reality, based on that choice, we are now living out in this life the reality that God then would have us experience. And it's an abundant life for those that have chosen honesty. See, what do you do knowing that there's two kingdoms? Okay. I'll give you three. First thing is making it practical. First thing is you check your allegiance. See, on a heart level, on an honest level before the Father, you have to be honest with Him. Because He already knows. How many people came up to Jesus with all kinds of tricks, all kinds of loaded questions, all kinds of motives that they weren't expressing to Him? They invited Him as a guest to their home for dinner, but they really wanted to just show Him what they thought of Him. How many people, all these people that had something else in their mind, but they really were not honest in their hearts behind? Check your allegiance. Check your heart before the Father. The way you do this, go into your home, go into your room, close the door behind you, get before you and the Father, and ask. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, am I missing it? Am I walking with You? Am I really in step with You? Am I walking in the kingdom of God? Check your allegiance, check your heart. Are you among those that use the kingdom of God, use the name of Jesus for something in the world? Matthew chapter 7 is a case of that, where Jesus said, many will come unto Me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in Your name? Going through a long laundry list of things they did in Jesus' name, and Jesus at the end of it saying, look, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. I never had a relationship with You. I never knew You. You never knew Me. But You used My name to try to expedite yourself in this world. And now when eternity has come to bear on you, you realize the reality, which is that you were always part of the kingdom of the world. You were never part of the kingdom of God. You were never part of light and truth. So check your allegiance now. Check your heart now while you have time. See, time is short right now. So you have to redeem the time. Time is short. So use the time that you have well. One of the best things you can do is check your allegiance and check your heart. Are you living that life that God has for you? Check your allegiance, check your heart. This is between you and Him. No one else can do this for you. If you're expecting some man to come and pat you on the back and say, oh brother, you're okay, oh sister, you're okay, how do they know? How do they know? How do they know the condition of your heart before God? Only you know whether you are in step and in line with the Spirit of God. Don't accept the praise that comes from man. Look unto the Father. Check your allegiance, check your heart. Be honest with Him. Ask Him to reveal and expose that to you. He'll do it if you come to Him in honesty. God won't refuse a broken and contrite heart. So check your allegiance. The second thing is, cultivate your connection. Cultivate your connection with the Father. This is now John chapter 17 verse 3. Now this is life eternal, that they may know You, the one true living God, and Your Son whom You sent, Jesus Christ. This is life eternal. So cultivate your connection. Well, how? Okay, prayer, fasting, the Word, walking in obedience. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer strengthens the true you. Prayer strengthens your spirit man so that you can walk strong in this world. Fasting. Fasting is when it's led by the Spirit of God. It decreases the flesh so that your spirit is even stronger in that spiritual reality. Don't fast when you think. Fast when the Spirit of God leads you into it. Have you ever, you know the difference? I've had both. I fasted when I felt like fasting, and I fasted when the Spirit of the Lord moved me to fast. When the Spirit of the Lord moves you to fast, there's a real wonderful benefit. When I fast because it's something that I create for myself, I just get hungry. So, fast when the Spirit of God leads you to fast. But He's doing that now. It's a very, very powerful thing that God is doing with His people. The Word of the Lord is Spirit and truth. When you read the Word, ask the Father, Lord, speak to me, teach me, train me up in your Word. And when God shows you something, obey. If He shows you something, reveals something to you, just walk that out. If you're struggling with that, make it real. Lord, I'm struggling with this, show me. But obey whatever the Spirit of the Lord shows you. So cultivate your connection with the Father. And then also, one more thing to make it practical for you here. Adjust your attitude toward your time in this world. You and I are just stewards in this world. We're not owners. So, for us, our time in this world is a transition point. So live your life as one transitioning through this world. Do it with wisdom. God gives you wisdom in how to handle your daily affairs. But do it with a healthy understanding that this life is a transition point into eternity. That's why Solomon said it's better to be in a house of mourning than in a house of feasting. Why? Because you keep in mind that all of us are leaving this reality. And everyone that was alive when he wrote those words is gone now. And we are the ones here in the world right now for this season and this time. It's a wonderful time to be part of what God is doing in this world. It's a wonderful time to be somebody that knows the Father, because this will be very, very real to you. So, choose life, choose truth. Enjoy the walk, because Jesus again promised, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So that abundant life is available. All we have to do is choose to walk it out with Him. And with that, my time is gone, so I will stop there for this evening. And I'll hand it back to you.